Hey you guys, it is me, your sister friend, cousin, daughter, next door neighbor, and homie, Lydia. Welcome back to the Reached Hangout. Today's conversation centers on peace. In other words, our definition of peace can suppress unresolved anger and forgiveness and create unhealthy boundaries to avoid conflict with our purpose. So, let's grab our beverage of choice. For me, it's going to be water, of course, snacks, and a notepad. Or you can go to the notes section on your phone for today's episode called Keeping the Peace. Again, today's episode is called Keeping the Peace. So let's get into it. What is your definition of peace? How do you allow peace to function in your life? What are some of the expectations you put into place in environments you want to keep peaceful? How we define our peace can be dispersed in different ways, but sometimes having the desire for peace doesn't mean we can isolate ourselves and get exempt from all sorts of conflicts. The ability to have peace is understanding how to set healthy boundaries and that God is in the midst of every step, every decision, and every encounter we make. He has given us insight into what's to come. So when a conflicting or discouraging situation arises, we will have confidence knowing that peace resides where we are because we are God's children. Rather than having an out of sight and out of mind type of default because of previous events that placed bitterness in us due to a negative experience, whether it's from our past or in our present, and now currently we are trying to avoid it from entering into our future. When we create this mindset of out of sight and out of mind for our life, the only outcome it can bring is a negative one because it limits our growth. This limitation of growth isn't just for a spiritual hindrance, but also a mental and our emotional and our physical one as well. For instance, in articles from Esther Goldstein, LCSW, and Integrative Psychotherapy and Mayo Clinic highlights the barriers we set to avoid conflict. And it's not just a simple 1, 2, 3 healing type of step process. Because if you have experienced abuse, shock, loss, neglect, or it could be many other variables, you may initially shut down the emotional memory because the intensity of the emotion or emotions is too much to digest. The human brain and the body learn to put these events in a deep freeze to function daily. However, even when stored away, the body always remembers. That one really got me right there. Even if we store away what has happened to us, the body always remembers. So we could use methods versus trying to suppress our emotions and suppress what happened to us by pacing ourselves and staying motivated. For example, turning to family and friends who listen and offer comfort or seeking a mental health professional for a brief course of therapy. And it's also helpful to fast, pray, read your Bible, and journal not to produce unhealthy coping mechanisms. We can't continue to neglect the areas of our life we choose not to address, or we could partially address it and heal from it. But if we do, it becomes a disservice to not only us, but to those around and those who are personally attached to us. Our decisions may be personal. When we think about certain particular things we want to do in our life and set for ourselves, we are thinking personally, like, how would this benefit me personally? How can I continue to elevate in my growth? How can I continue to grow in God? But these personal decisions that we make can cause, will cause an external effect on others because we won't address what's at hand. And using the saying, that's just me, to be a scapegoat for what we have internalized over the years and months and days or even seconds isn't a solution either. The challenge most of us face, and I can even attest to that, is the unpredictable factor. Like, I don't know what's going to happen if I decide to address the situation I have suppressed. Like, if I allow myself to forgive and let this circumstance re-enter, or it could be a different situation, a different scenario, but it has the same traits, participate in my life, I will be subject to getting hurt again. However, if we stay looking for bad in things and holding our breath, waiting for the ball to drop, waiting for stuff to hit the ceiling fan, we'll find trouble. And what I mean by that is, if we keep on waiting for something to go left, for something to go wrong, and maybe in that particular moment, something does go left, something does go wrong, someone or something may not do something that we like, we're just giving ourselves an excuse to label that person in that situation as toxic, and it's interrupting our peace. Even if it's not the sole person, the sole source of the issue, we'll still come after those related by association because we have this mindset of, this interrupted my peace. This is an aggravation to me. I don't like this. This is not what I expected. So we gotta go. But, you know, something my mother frequently tells me when I talk to her about certain things, she tells me this. She says, we may be the only example someone might see of Christ through passing. And you don't want to allow that anger or bitterness to be displayed in your interactions with people because you can't learn to be cordial and let go. That doesn't mean that we should view ourselves as a messiah, no. But we have to understand when God tells us to have a forgiving heart, it isn't for a selective group of people. It isn't for who we deemed worthy enough to be forgiven, but for everyone we encounter, whether they hurt us or not. Because vengeance is the Lord. Now, let me tell y'all something. That does not mean you get in your prayer corner and you like, Lord, get him. Because we all have had moments where we were undeserving of God's grace and mercy. So I say, Lord, I don't want anybody else to experience what I have experienced in this encounter. So handle it the best way you think possible, but also allow that grace to be there as well. Because like I said, there was moments where I needed grace, where I needed forgiveness. Be mindful of what you speak. Be mindful of your tongue. We eat off of what we speak. We speak negativity, we eat off of that negativity. We speak positivity, we eat off of that positivity. So I'm not going to speak negativity into their life. I just want them to be healed. I don't want them to continue to do what they did to me and think that that was okay. No, but I want God to handle it. I need him to handle it because I don't know how to handle it. Because I'm running off of my hurts, I'm running off of my pain, I'm running off of my sadness, I'm running off of my confusion, I'm running off of however I may feel in that moment. So we just have to give it to him. And if by some chance we have given it to God, we have let it go, we have forgiven all of those things, and maybe years later, weeks later, a day later, that same incident or issue tries to resurface in our life again. Don't be so closed off. Because who knows? God may allow that particular thing in our life to resurface to see if we have the compassion not to view them as that pain that they caused us, but view them as a soul that needs forgiveness. And sometimes in those brief encounters, it does not always mean that God is trying to make that appearance to be a continuous thing. Sometimes it's just a temporary one to see if we have changed, to see if we have grown. God wants to know if that situation reoccurs, not maybe by the same person, but in a different form, have we changed enough to allow it to just roll off of us and be like, okay, God, I can be cordial. I can communicate. I can handle this. God, you healed me from this, so I'm good. And yes, I know it can be cringy. Like, we're gritting our teeth because it's like, you really want me to let go of the reserved feelings I had about a situation or a circumstance? Yes. Yes, I do. And I also need to do it for myself too. Because it's time that I reclaim my life back. It's time that I reclaim back everything that the enemy thought he could take away from me in that moment and in that situation of my life. And I'm not going to let that encounter sit in the back of my head dormant, because like I said, that out of sight, out of mind mentality. So it's in the back of my head and it's dormant. But it's also waiting to become active to bring chaos in my life. So versus that situation sitting dormant, waiting to become active, I'm going to give it to God so it can be conquered, so it can be changed, so it can be healed. Now, I'm not saying, nor will I ever say, to walk into a situation unguarded, knowing that there is a repetitive track record of manipulation, hurt, trauma, whatever the situation is. I would never say to walk in that situation, not a care in the world, because that is so unwise. However, I am saying this. Don't become too guarded and too reserved that not even God can get through to you because you have allowed your heart to become of stone and nothing can penetrate in or out. Doing this may feel like you have lost control. No one wants to feel like they don't have control over their life. They don't have say so. They don't feel like they can take things into their own hands. But we gain more by just placing it in our Father's hands. We grow more if we just take that situation and that issue and place it in our Father's hands. We are letting God be our Father, our protector, our navigator, and much more by choosing not to walk in our will, but we're going to choose to walk in His will. We can protect and keep the peace and the sanity in our lives by disbanding our expectations of how our life is supposed to be. A lot of restriction in our life comes from expectation. And when it doesn't go our way, we like, this isn't what God wants for my life. When it could be the exact thing God wants for our life, but it's not lining up with our expectation. So we have to disband all those expectations we place on our life and start walking in what God wants us to receive, what God has already spoken over us before we even entered into our mother's womb. And I'm still learning, so this is not something that's going to happen overnight, but I am understanding that I don't have to spend my life in this defensive mode of, I don't want to get hurt again. So I'm going to do my best not to get hurt again. Because to be honest, not getting injured is inevitable. But it's not so much about the injury, but how we respond once we get wounded. Do we become angry and blame everyone and everything for our problems? Do we choose to live a life as a hermit? Do we have this carefree attitude? Or do we dust ourselves off, adjust our armor, and walk in the boldness God has given us as his sons and daughters? Because my peace doesn't come from what I allow. My peace comes from my Father. That's where my peace comes from. That's where my help comes from. And if I continue to rest in the presence of my Father, if I continue to lay at my Father's feet, if I continue to go to God, I will have peace. I will have love. I will have joy. I will have kindness. I will have goodness. I will have faithfulness and the other fruits of the Spirit. I will have everything because God is that peace. God is that joy. 1 Kings chapter 19, the NIV version, talks about how the prophet Elijah was on the run from Jezebel. Jezebel is Ahab's wife. He's the king of Israel. And long story short, the Israelites had turned from God and he was trying to put them back on track, which was the prophet Elijah. So by doing that, he was trying to get rid of all the wickedness from Israel. But Jezebel, which was Ahab's wife, she did not like that at all. So she was trying to kill him. Prophet Elijah, he flees because he like, y'all ain't trying to kill me. So he flees in fear and he ends up at Mount Horeb. And this mountain is called the mountain of God. And the word of the Lord comes to him. It comes to prophet Elijah and tells him to stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Now, the verses I want to pull are 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 11 through 13, NIV, which says, "Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper." When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face, went out, and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" The reasoning for this scripture reference is to highlight that the destruction we may see or endure is not always the Lord, but life. God will make himself evident and he will come to us and he will embrace us and he will welcome us in his presence to not only comfort us, but to give us the advice that we are seeking him for. Even when we have fear, the Bible says God does not give us the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. And when we are God's child, we have to realize that we have the authority to be bold in the midst of the storm and wait on our Father. No matter what it may look like, no matter what it seem like, continue to stand firm in the foundation of the Lord and know that we don't have to move away from the storm to get to God. We don't have to isolate ourselves to get to God because God is in the center of it all. He's just waiting for us to listen to him. He's waiting for us to humble ourselves and say, "Okay, God, I'm here. I want to listen. What do you want to tell me about this? How should I go about this situation?" Because it would be easier to do out of sight, out of mind. It would be easier just to isolate. It would be easier to walk away. It would be easier just to write off that person or that situation as it's toxic and it's interrupting my peace. It would be easier to do that. But is it God's will or is it our will? We should still go to our Father, because when we take it in our hands, mistakes happen. But if we put it in the Lord's hands, restoration and victory has already been made. It has already entered our environment, the conversation, the room. It is already in the midst. Remember, keeping the peace isn't what we define it to be. Peace is not by our definition alone, but peace is allowing the presence of God to have complete control in our life so that we can have the peace. And that's on period. Well, our time at the Reach Hangout has come to an end. If you have enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to like, follow, share respectful thoughts in the comment section, share/tag a friend, tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend. Your girl is on the podcast. And make sure your post notifications are on to know when the next episode drops. Plus, keep up with my YouTube channel, Lydia's Chronicles, by subscribing, liking, and commenting so I know that you found me. And I did drop my 4th of July weekend on there, so check that out. I have other videos as well. And all of my socials will be linked in the description box. If no one has told you this today, I love you, God loves you, and Jesus loves you too. But other than that, this is your sister, friend, cousin, daughter, next door neighbor, and homie, Lydia, signing off until we meet again. P.S. We must remember the end game on here is to grow to be the best versions of ourselves, mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. With who? With God, y'all. I love you, SBCs. And just remember, God has it all in his hands. The whole world is in his hands. But all right, SBCs, I love you so much. And until we meet again, bye.